Yesterday, I mentioned that the three of us were like brothers. Fred, the firstborn, straight-laced and pragmatic. Dan, the middle child, understated and mostly ignored. And me, the baby of the family, narcissistic and unhinged. Anyway, to extend this further, our listeners are also part of our clan, and yesterday we had news of a death in our family. Our friend Marilyn Benninger died on Monday. She was an OG Hundy P and a very sweet, smart, funny, and kind woman who, along with her husband, Chef Mike, was part of many celebrations in the early years of the podcast. It's a strange feeling to know someone who was such a big supporter of ours is now gone, but that's life and something we're all going to have to face. So on behalf of our family, we send our good thoughts and love to Chef Mike and hope that wherever she is, she'll continue to download our show every day because we really, really can't afford a dip in the numbers. Now, here is Marilyn herself talking about working with us on our first podcast anniversary and what she thought of our show.
So it was really two parts, and then it took a village. So we had been on air with Humble and Fred for a number of times, and Chef Mike had brought food in and set off the fire alarm during a live,
one fire alarm.
One. And then the anniversary comes up, my little rubber arm goes up, and I go, well, I run events. How hard could this be? Well, we didn't know how many people would come and who could jam into the hottest room in Toronto. And then, of course, you have to feed them. So between the Palma Pasta guy, who was great, and Chef Mike, we fed the masses. So that's where you came in. Humble and Fred, I love you. I've always really admired what you've done. And thank you so much for the laughs and all that you do to brighten our day and then just make our day real. Some days it's just about making the day real. So congratulations and keep up the good work.
These mist-covered mountains are home now for me, but my home is the lowlands, and
this episode of the legendary Humble and Fred Show is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Humble and Fred studio in Toronto, from our Brampton facility featuring a beautiful seasonal lighting display, and from Peterborough at Lisa's dining room table next to a freshly decorated fake Christmas tree. I'm Dan Duran, broadcasting live from the Kyler Mann Zoom Theater and brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Bodog, our newest sponsor Ridley Funeral Home, and Kelsey's Original Roadhouse. And now, here are two men who, for the first time this winter, are overjoyed to see the festive, non-denominational, seasonal holiday snow coating their world. It's Humble and Fred.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, guys.
I really wasn't sure what to do for our friend Marilyn Benninger, who died. I think, though, by now, it's funny that I just thought of this the other day, and I was like, wow, how is it we've missed that all these years that we should have had when anybody dies, a 21, like, this is so, so Humble and Fred. We should have a 21 fart salute. How do we? How have we
That's
missed
too
that?
Easy.
It is too easy. We've missed it all these years. Anyway, I don't know if you knew her, Dan, but a lot of people listening to our show over the years, especially the OG Hundy P. Some of you Hundy P since Voldemort may not know who Marilyn and Chef Mike were. Chef Mike is still. But they were a big part of the early podcast years, and Freddie and I were talking about it before the show, that she literally organized our first anniversary because she was doing PR at the time, and they were coming in a lot in those days. Chef was trying to get his business going, and so we were visited by them on many a mornings, and she basically put it all together with Anthony Petrucci and a bunch of other people, and yeah, she was around a lot.
Yeah, that was another indication of the support staff we've had through the years since beginning this project, because an event like that back in the radio days, somebody always put it together for us. We just showed up.
Right.
So here we were all of a sudden, you know, we were in control. We didn't have that support staff. And how were we going to do something like that? And lo and behold, along came Marilyn. And it was just like the old days. We had somebody else do all the
that's work. That's right. We were like, wait a second, you're going to do it? Perfect. Yeah. So they were around a lot.
And at a good price, too.
Yes, exactly.
At a great price.
Mm-hmm. Toronto Mike has put up a couple years ago, when we took some time away, Mike put together a series of interviews or conversations with Hundy Pease. And if you go to our Facebook page, or if you're there now, Mike has put up the interview with both Mike, Chef Mike, and Marilyn. And it's very interesting to hear them talk about their relationship with our show. And as you say, we've been very lucky, excuse me, to have people help us out. And they were certainly a big part of our progress early in the podcast years.
Yes, very sad. A young woman. And again, we really didn't know that about the struggles that she was going through. And, you know, to get the news, it's very sad. Very sad.
I had a conversation with Mike last evening, and she died on Monday, and he was in really good spirits. I sort of just wanted to leave a message. I didn't think he'd answer, but he picked up and we talked. She had a form of breast cancer, if you're curious, and she was diagnosed with it, I think, about 3 years or so ago, and it was a certain kind of breast cancer where by the time they had diagnosed it was at a stage where, and this is the phrase they use now, they don't tell you, like, they don't say you've got this much time to live, they say that what you have is life limiting. That's the new term.
All right. Yeah,
well, I'm like, fuck, what I have is life limiting. I mean, look at me. Every day is a struggle here in the how man's head. But as he put it, we had 35 great months and one shitty one. So when they got the diagnosis, for the first little while, they did a lot of traveling, and she was in great spirits, and she was on some medication, so she was, you know, pretty healthy, and they traveled Paris and Mexico a couple times, and then they got to a point where they couldn't get insurance because of her condition, so they just did sort of local traveling. But as he said, they did had lots of fun for their last 3 years, and then the last month or so, she started to go down and passed away just a couple days ago.
Yeah. How long were they married?
25 years.
I guess, you know, part of it, I mean, death is never easy, but, you know, when you get the diagnosis and you can sort of prepare yourself for it, you said he was in pretty good spirits.
Yeah. So,
you know, I guess you get to prepare yourself if you're ever really prepared. But you know what I'm saying. You know it's coming. So, yeah, it's funny. I just think back of all the days they would bounce. They would literally bounce into the studio.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what it
very,
is.
Very, very enthusiastic and friendly and warm.
You know, it's going to say, like, we weren't super close with them, but they were, you know, we were close enough to be friends with them. And as you say, there many a morning they would show up in the early days there on 30th Street, and he would bring us, Dan, like short ribs, like he would prepare like real food. And she was always very happy and, very enjoyed our show and seemed to have a good time with us. And you sort of not take it for granted, but you just assume, well, everyone will just be around forever. But they're not.
Yeah. No, that's so true. That's so true. And we've said it before, you know, we're entering the stage of our life. Although you said she was around 60. That's young.
Yeah.
But you enter the stage of your life where, you know, peers start to go. It's no longer aunts and uncles and parents and the man that lived down the street. It's people, you know, it's your peer group. So
that's all I wanted to say. Just get it, not to bring everyone down, but I thought we'd start the show with that. And Dan, this is going to be a no-brainer today. And I think everyone who sent us emails will be fine that for the next week, we rename the studio the Marilyn Benninger, not to be confused with Mary Ellen Benninger. It's funny, we've worked with two people in our careers named whose names are so close. and yet so far away in their admiration for us.
Right. so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they couldn't be on polar opposites of people that enjoyed our presence and our program.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's Benninger, not Benninger?
I think it's Benninger, yes.
Okay.
I hesitated there for a second because for a minute I was unsure. So we're gonna rename the studio in honor of our fallen friend. Did you think that music was okay? Because I really love that. I saw that in a series. You know, it's Dire Straits, Brothers in Arms. I love it.
Yeah. It was nice, yes. Very fitting. A very nice tribute.
Yeah, it was
so nice. I hope there's not other listeners clamoring to get theirs. You know what I mean?
That's right. All of a sudden, we're going to become like, hey, listen, we honestly, if there's anyone else there, we can't afford anyone else to die. But it was either Brothers in Arms or Farts in My Butt. I wasn't sure which way to go.
Yeah.
But I thought I would go with more of the straight edged, you know. And I couldn't find Dan. I really think it's really a drag that we don't have something here on my hot shots where I could actually hit 21 farts, but next time somebody dies, I will be prepared.
Yeah, but 21 farts takes a while. I mean, unless you know, rapid fire.
Well, that's what I would do. I would just go.
Which reminds me of show memories. Remember Danger Boy Jason Barr? Sometimes he would fart and they would last like 20 seconds. It was unbelievable. He'd build up the gas and he'd let it go and just let it out a bit at a time. And it was like, holy cow, let's put the clock on that thing. So that was his claim to fame.
Well, yeah, that was one of his claims to fame.
That was one of his claims. It was the biggest one. It was top of the list for me.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, Dan was at my house for a while there a couple of years ago, and I was having some issues that were, I remember every time I would fart a long time, and I'd say, Dan, that's not, I'm not farting. I just have a condition.
It's a condition, yeah.
I'm not being rude. I just have a condition.
And the little general's listening right now going, look at that. They can't even talk about someone's death without going there. See, they always have to bring the poop and the farts into it. See?
Listen, if I could have
figured it out. They're so one-dimensional, these guys.
That's right. If I could have figured it out, I would have given her a 21-fart salute. But anyway, it's a drag. Wow. And it was sort of a shock. I can't remember. Like you think they were at our thing at Stonehooker. I'm not sure when the last time we saw them. I know Mike says he's going to be at Kelsey's. What's that?
I thought we had seen them recently. Anyway.
Well, you're asking the wrong one of us, because I don't really. The only thing I remember from Stonehooker is when I ate it coming off the stage, but.
Right. But again, it's all a blur, you know, the events, the people, the friendships. Maybe not. Well, Mike will be able to answer that question when we see him next.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes it's not even important to remember the last time you saw someone. There's an aggregate of, you know, the person that you know and, you know, moments that you enjoyed with them. That's the more important stuff, I'd say.
Yeah, but it tugs at you, man. I like, you know, people that have died, I often think of, oh, the last time I saw them. Like, even my dad, like, you know, I remember the last time looking back and seeing him. He was in the hospital, but we didn't necessarily expect him to die that night. And a couple of friends and stuff. It's just natural, you know?
Yeah, that idea of the last time you're going to see somebody, if you knew it was the last time, what would you say? Mm-hmm. How would you act? We did know, like, when Lou Glassman was in the hospital in the last week of his life, he was kind of conscious on the Wednesday. In fact, he asked me to take him outside so he could have a smoke. And then he went into a coma that day, which I was there for, by the way, which is so weird. Like, he had a seizure. My brother and I were in the room. You know, all the hospital people come over and try and figure out what's going on. And then he kind of went into this state and never recovered. So it was, and it was only like that for a couple of days. And back to what Mike said about Marilyn. 35 good months and a few months where it wasn't great. I think that's what most of us want. We want it to sort of go quickly. We don't want to be, I don't want to be in a situation where, oh, Howard was diagnosed and then 10 years later, after just drooling.
Yeah, Who knows, right? Wow. Who knows what's in store for you? What about you, Dan? Your dad sort of died suddenly. You must remember the last time you laid eyes on him. And
no, I don't, actually. But that may be because it was...
What's the matter with you?
What is the matter with you, Dan?
I don't remember. I don't.
Really?
But I'll tell you why. I mean, my parents lived in Edmonton. And the number of times they got back to Edmonton was... you know, limited, let's say it that way. And my dad had remarried, right, and gone on, mm-hmm, a bunch of cruises,
right,
and it was probably deep vein thrombosis. What do you say? Deep vein thrombosis, mm-hmm, was probably what happened. Is he had just gotten back from a trip, that flown back to Edmonton, and mm-hmm, it was that night that they got back that he died of a heart attack. So, so he had been away for a while, so I don't remember the exact... Mm-hmm. I mean, remember that
part.
No,
I get it. I get it. You know,
it's all these
pulling
moments.
Your chain.
Yeah, I know, but...
Yeah, as tough as that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, as tough as that is. Can you imagine?
Even in death.
Even in... Yeah, yeah, seriously. You know, I'd like to pull Dan's chain, but I don't have that kind of arm strength.
Well, go rent a winch.
Well, once again, the tribute to a fallen family member continues. It includes everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've covered shit and dicks. What's the third one?
Has anyone pissed themselves?
Isn't
during
there a third thing we always have, we lean on? I thought. Anyway,
shits and dicks and Trump. Shits and dicks and Trump. Right, yeah. Hey, by the way, speaking of the festive season, I was going through some audio today. And I came across this nugget.
Oh, come, all ye faithful.
Now, if that doesn't put you in the holiday spirit, I don't know what is. You know what would be great if we could somehow sneak this version of Nat King Cole's classic into a mall somehow, and people were walking into a store, and all of a sudden they heard this, and so people were like,
they'll all duck for cover. They'll think it's some banshee of Run Wild.
Imagine you're in Shoppers shopping for last minute items, and you hear,
is that the devil?
Oh, come on. Speaking of Twitch.
Okay. Speaking of what?
Do you got Twitch, of which, do you, you know, with the smart speakers and everything, what's your deal with, do you have music just on in the background, and do you ever have, like, a steady diet of Christmas music? Are you into that, or do you even have Christmas music in the house? Do you ever call for it?
I do have a speaker on, usually in the kitchen when I'm doing mm-hmm. stuff, you know, listening to music, yeah. But I'll be honest with you, I haven't chosen any Christmas background music yet. What about you guys?
No, I've often we have that Sirius XM Watercolors on, which is sort of smooth jazz, and the odd Christmas jazz song will come on. But as far as like wall to wall, back to back, I can't really handle that other than Christmas Day, probably.
Dan, I'm assuming you've probably already been roasting chestnuts over an open fire and sticking them up your asshole to make sure that
lots
you don't
of
have
stuff and decorating the place and just getting into the mood of the season.
You didn't hear
me
say that you put chestnuts up your ass?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I missed that.
Can you not hear me when I talk into this thing?
Well, maybe I've just, you know, moved on.
So, Dan, if you do put a chestnut up your ass, make sure there's a little camera in it so we can see what's going on.
That's right.
There, please.
Yeah. Chestnuts up your ass, making sure your polyps are benign.
Okay. Yes. So I have put together a few Christmas lists and play them. And I've played them up at the lake when I'm there by myself. I enjoy a little bit of that. And also, but I tend this time of year not to want the religious ones. Those are, you know, safe for
creepy.
The last couple of days. But, you know, all
come,
the
come faithful.
Yeah,
that seems a bit extreme. All the faithful should come? Come on. What kind of mess are we talking about?
The non-faithful don't come.
Daniel, did you, I don't think Fred did, but I know you and I have had this experience, unique to announcers, which is working at a radio station that plays Christmas music. It happened to me when I joined Easy Rock. That's right. I was a DJ on a adult contemporary station for a very short time. And it was painful. The format was painful. But then we got to November, and they announced they were going to go all Christmas. This was when CHFI had sort of set the precedent for it. But what was your experience? I know you guys did it in Peterborough, right?
But we didn't do it as, I think we did it really close to Christmas. It wasn't like the full month.
But you went December. All Christmas at some point.
At some point, yeah, I did that. And
it's such a disingenuous ratings winner. You know what I mean? It's like anything else. It's like the big contests and everything. You do your programming all year long, and then all of a sudden during ratings or whatever, you just, you know, you change the game, so to speak. Because you know most of that Christmas music that gives you the bump in the ratings, people have just got it on in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Really listening.
By the way, a big
really
bump.
Really listening to your radio station.
Freddie, a big bump in the ratings.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite the phenomenon, and you understand why they do it. Like CHFI here, I think, was the first in Toronto to jump
Absolutely.
On it years and years ago,
yep.
as you say. And the results speak for themselves.
So there were times at the edge, and if I'm misremembering this, maybe you can jump in, Fred. But there were times, and I mean like a day or two prior, where in our music sheet, there would be not all Christmas, but a few Christmas sprinkled in. Waitresses.
Yeah, maybe 1 hour, yeah. 2 an hour or something.
Yeah, it was definitely part of our our world for a while.
The closer you got to Christmas, the more per hour you'd play. Yeah.
But never at the edge, we never went every song in that. We played six songs an hour in our morning show. They weren't all Christmas.
No.
So I didn't have that experience. But when I worked at Easy Rock, and I'm the guy, I'm the DJ introducing the songs along with everyone else in the room, and it was dreadful. Because it was a month of it. And, you know, the first couple days, you sort of go, oh, this is cute. It's a novelty. But once you start, because the universe of them is not the same as the universe of the songs you can play.
Oh, no. And look at a station like The Edge. I mean, even if you wanted to, you probably couldn't. I mean, where's the universe, you know?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
There was some neat Edge Christmas songs, but certainly not enough to go wall to wall, that's for sure. Eek.
But there's also the consideration if you do decide to go wall to wall with your station, are you competing with someone else? Because they're already filtering all the Christmas people, you know, that love that kind of thing out. So if you do another station, then, you know, are you really going to pull numbers from that one station that's decided to do
maybe
it all the time?
I'll tell you what it's for, though. It's a cum monster. It's not a quarter hour booster as much as it is expanding the cume because of what Fred said. A lot of people will just have it on in the background, so a lot of people are sampling it. Maybe it is. Maybe it does work with quarter hours, too. I just thought of it. I mean,
and what you do, I mean, it's a smash hit. 1 year, say in, you know, 2024, you sell 2025 based on that history, right?
Like, right.
Look what happened last year. Ooh, we want part of that. You know, will it end with smart speakers and the way people now digest their music? Probably, on some level. Like, you see, if I even do it and get this, I have no idea who's doing it.
No, I'm sure they are, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I did hear that they went, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to, you know, talk to somebody in the biz right now that looks at those numbers all the time and sees the, you know, how it breaks out that way. Because I'm wondering just in general like a lot of the Christmas music is religious based, and people aren't as religious as they used to be. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Is it still a thing?
Is it though? Like a lot of those days, isn't it? You know, and I love Paul McCartney, but Christmas time, I've heard that enough in my lifetime. But then the Lennon one, I love. I can hear that as much as they want to play it. You know, and Springsteen's song, again, is like on the verge of, okay.
Dan, I don't know that you're... I mean, I understand what you're saying. And again, I don't like to be critical of you, Dan, because you get enough of that from Fred. Whereas I...
No, that's fine.
Geez.
I mean, I'm willing to have a different opinion.
You dare have an opinion.
But I don't think... I think there's enough of a... There's 1,000 Christmas songs that have nothing to do with religion. You think about it, everything from Nat King Cole to, like, you, if you think about era-wise, you've got the 30s, 40s, and then through the 70s and 80s, like, everybody's recorded a Christmas album.
And that's why it's great for CHFI, given their, you know, their day-to-day playlist. I mean, they play everything from, well, they just pretty much play everything, even classic soft rock, right? Classic soft rock. All those artists, I mean, Mariah Carey, all you can name the thing, Mariah Carey, all of that ilk, they all have Christmas songs.
The problem
is, endless.
No,
it's endless.
Here's the weird thing. The number of artists with a Christmas song in their catalog is very wide. The number of tunes, the number of titles is shallow. They're yes, all doing versions of the same song. That's why, having been a guy played a month of Christmas tunes 2 years in a row, that's really where it starts to wear on you, because it's everyone's version of White Christmas. It's everyone's version of all those songs.
That's why my favorite, and it still remains for memory and fun and different and not classic, was Christmas Rap by the Waitresses. I still, when I hear that song, I love it. And you don't hear it a lot.
No.
I mean, we played it a lot on CFNY. But I love that song for all the reasons you just said, Howard, because it was unique, you know. It wasn't the somebody else's take on yet another classic Christmas song.
For me, I'm going to play a little bit of this if I can. Why isn't it playing? Oh, I see why, because I had to pull.
Oh, I know your favorite. Oh.
Now, this is, you described it perfectly. This is a song, a Christmas song, that has nothing to do with all those, that, because the universe of titles is finite. Yeah, this is a great song. This song, Dan, or were you gone by the time?
Oh yeah,
you,
no, I remember this song.
Because you would have operated our show, we would have played this.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Bah humbug, that's too strong, because it is my favorite holiday. But all this year's been a busy blur. Don't think I have the energy. Grab my already mad rush, just cause it's tis the season. The perfect gift for me would be completions and connections left from last year.
So Fred knows what my favorite song is. I'll play it in a second. Dan, what's outside of, you know, Oh Holy Night and, you know, Let's Buy Jesus some bullshit, what's your favorite Christmas song?
I don't know if on the spot I can name a song that, I mean, I like White Christmas a lot, but I like it, most of the tunes that I'm listening to on the playlist that I have are not the original versions. I mean, I really like the, you know, reversions, you know, covers and, you know, add some beats here and there. That kind of thing is what I like to listen to this time of year.
So, Freddie.
And also some weird, like, I know that James B., who used to hang out at CFNY.
Yeah, James B. Orchestra.
Used to have, or has a Christmas album of some sort that I listen to at this time of year as well.
Nice. So, Fred, what's cool, what is the song I'm going to play here in a second?
Fairy Tale of New York.
And he just passed away, I think, as well. He always looked like he was...
So he was a big fan of the show, too.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's funny. For a while there, we had this running bit where we had celebrities on our show, and the odd one would sit in this chair in our studio. And we called it the Humble and Fred Death Chair, because several of them sat there and then passed away after. But that's not what got Marilyn.
No.
Dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one. Came in late since one.
Would this be on your playlist, Dan? This cool. The Pogues and Christy McCall.
But I'm going to add it.
You should.
I like this song.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it was CFNY, The Edge, before I. That was my whole career in radio. I'd never heard this song until I played it one morning in Brampton. I was like, wow. Yeah, it's something else.
You guys should put a Spotify list together of a playlist of songs, seasonal songs this time of year that you guys like.
Yeah, we should do that. Fred?
Yeah, but it would be very limited.
That's fine.
No,
Fred,
it would be.
Go do that.
It would be very... by the way, speaking of songs, did you guys get your Spotify Wraps? They're out now.
The only thing I've seen a bunch of people have sent us their Spotify Wrapped podcast listening, and we're number one on several people's lists, which I thought was very cool.
Right.
But I haven't done my Wrapped yet, no.
Like, I got mine, and it's wrong. My number one song, I didn't even know the song. Like, I don't know if I rolled over in bed and inadvertently hit something one night and it ran like for a day and a half.
What's the song?
To tell you the truth, I'm looking it up right now, but I'll report later.
All right.
Yeah. What the algorithm collects when you go, you know, sometimes it's Spotify when you're playing a playlist and it runs out of songs, then the AI takes over and plays similar type songs and creates its own radio station. And if you let that play for a while, maybe it just sort of collects the...
I was really disappointed because other years it's been sort of accurate, but it was a jazz song. So maybe again I've fallen asleep or I left it on for a couple of days without. No, I can't explain it. My number one podcast though was Countdown with Keith Olbermann. Yeah.
How do I get? Is there any way to get it, or do I have to wait for them to send it to me?
It's usually when you open Spotify for the first time. It says right there your 2024 Wrapped is here.
But even so, you can look down. There's a, you know, how it has a band of song, you know, like, you know, new songs or something it creates for you. There's a bunch. There's a category in there of the songs that you listen to, and categories too, I think.
Yeah, but that might be something different. Your favorites of a particular year. I don't think it comes out until the last week of this. This is your listening sort of habits per se. But it will put a playlist together of your most listened to songs of that particular year. Yeah. So,
well, my Spotify is skewed because I spend most of my Spotify hours in a week playing stuff on the show. So it's not quite my, because because of us talking about this yesterday, and it's only the 5th of December that it says Howard Glassman top artists this month, just this month. Maroon 5.
Steely Dan.
No, Maroon 5.
Oh, really?
Because I played a couple of their songs yesterday.
Mine was Blue Wave Bossa Nova by some Rollins guy. I have no idea what that song is. Blue Wave Bossa. Have you ever heard that song? That's my number one song. Sonny Rollins?
Something like that. It's a jazz track, yeah.
I can't explain it.
That's really weird.
Well, maybe you just play a lot of dinner music and jazz comes up, and this is the one that's in the rotation higher than others.
Blue Wave Bossa Nova by Lawson Rawlings. This is Fred's number one. Here we go.
Oh, that's nice. I played it after it came up, but I can't explain it. So there's flaws in that system.
Fred really likes this song. Just won't admit it.
Put you in a nice spot. I get that.
You can see him wandering around his trailer site right now, enjoying the summer rays.
I think Dan did. I think Dan got your... This is definitely Dan Duran. This is very Dan Duran-esque. I think Dan got a hold of your Spotify. Come on, Lawson. Speaking of Dan Duran, there he is, sweet man that he is. And we were talking about the death of your dad. And Fred, you mentioned the last time you saw Dickie, and I talked about the great Lou Glassman, whose birthday it would be today on the 5th of December.
Wow.
And how old would he have been? He would have been 102 years old. He died in 2006. And he was 83, so he died in October, and he would have been 84 on his next birthday, so a couple months before he turned 84. Born in 1923, Frederick.
Gone, but not forgotten.
I would disagree. Gone and mostly forgotten. That's the sad thing that happens to people, is that you're gone, and for the most part...
Yeah, but not by you and those who loved him.
Well... In so much that I don't think about him every single day of my life anymore.
Well, that's normal. That's normal.
Well, I'm trying to be as normal as possible, Dan. I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah, you are.
You understand
good that. Good facade.
You understand more than anyone else in my life. You know that I'm just basically doing an impression of a human being. The rest of it, I have no idea what normal people fucking do. I'm just going along the best I can.
Just you do you.
Because we both know if I did that, it would be even less tolerable than my. Anyway, yeah, it's weird when you think about it. You know, my the first year that my dad passed away, I was like daily, constantly thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then little by little, you know, I mean, I remember that first year in the spring when I started watching the Masters and I started to cry a little bit because I was thinking, well, I won't have this to discuss with my dad. But then as the years go by, you know.
You become a hardened bastard.
I was going to say that by the years go by, you're like, who the fuck was that guy?
Yeah, but on days remember like today.
Mm-hmm. What's that, Freddie?
Yeah, who was that guy?
Who was that? What was his? Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember his full name. It was Lou something.
You know, it's sad. On that point, I was talking to a buddy of mine a couple of weeks ago. His dad died like at 49.
Jesus.
Growing up in Scarborough. And we were talking about that. And he said, you know, he said, I feel bad because, you know, my memory of my dad is just a guy that drove me to hockey, you know?
Hmm.
His dad was sort of like a firefighter and worked shift work and stuff. And he said, that's the one thing that bothers him. Because he had, you know, it happened when he, you know, when he, in his late teen years and, you know, from 14 to 19, you don't have a lot of time for your parents. You know what I mean? All that stuff. And then his dad goes and it was sad.
Well, it's, I think, oh, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, Howard, it's important on these kind of days where it's, you know, you're honoring your dad's birthday to think of, you know, cherished times in the life, you know, pull good memories from that and just, you know.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Spend a moment there.
I appreciate that. Because you are my guide to me being more humane and human. Hey, yeah. I've decided then, okay, so forget Marilyn. I'd like it to be the Lou Glassman Zoom Theater.
Right. Yeah.
No, we're going to keep
maybe
it with
that
Marilyn.
Should be from now on. It's just the Memorial Theater. We'll think of all the dead people we know and just tag their name onto the studio. How about that?
I like that idea. And then Dan could fart 21 times.
That's right.
Right.
Most streamed songs in the U.S. and 24 on Spotify, Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter. Have no idea what that is. Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar. No idea. Bar Song by Shaboozy. I've heard that song. It's just another one of those dime a dozen country songs that nauseate me. This Shaboozy guy, though, he does rap and country, apparently. Have you ever heard of Shaboozy? This is the number one U.S. stream song, this Shaboozy.
Well, let's see what's turned you into such a hate machine. Here's Bar Song and Shaboozy, Edge 102.
My baby born a Birkin. She's been telling me all night long. Gasoline and groceries. The list goes on and on. It's 9 to 5 ain't working. Why the hell do I work so hard? I can't worry about my problems. I can't take them when I'm gone. Here comes the 2 to the 3 to the 4.
Yeah, it's pretty formulaic. I don't hate it, though. I don't think I'll ever listen to it again, but it's not. It follows a formula. It really does.
Yo, absolutely. I was going to say that. I think within that community, they've decided each song will just change one note, and then we won't sue each other, okay? That's the agreement.
Well, not only it's not only the, the musical formula, but it follows that formula of the verse, pre-verse, into this chorusy kind of. But you know what? I can see why people like it, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, and it does mention a couple of shots of whiskey. Those songs always have to have, like, whiskey in them.
Absolutely. Yeah. But this has got to, you know, but the production, Dan, is different than a lot of country. You know what I mean? It's got that clap track in the background, you know?
Yeah.
And it's also a different time signature than most. It's got that little, I don't know. It's not, you know, it's not terrible.
Also, this Spotify thing, my most played artist, which is true, probably, because I've got her on a few playlists, actually, is Norah Jones. I'm a bit surprised, but I can't argue with that. Your most played artist gives you a, not a super personal message, but they come on and thank you. Like Norah Jones, there's a segment. She comes on and thanks you for making her your number one artist of the year. She doesn't say friend, but they've worked out this system that when and I guess they've interviewed all these artists to give a little thank you. It's crazy.
It's funny you say that because as you were saying that, Shaboozy just sent me a message.
Did he?
Yeah, he said
thanks, Howie.
No, he said tell Fred to go fuck himself. All All right, Shaboozy. Okay, we've got a program to do. We've got lives to save. Dan Duran's news in about 20-ish minutes, 25 or so. When we get finished your emails, here's a little Blue Wave Bossa Nova while the Fred Man tells you this story.
Yeah, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, hunker down, because if you're into the NFL and you like good football games, you got one coming up tonight. Oh, yes, you do. It's the Packers at Detroit. Hear what I'm saying? These are two great football teams. The Lions are the favorite, minus 163 on the money line. Excuse me, minus 185 on the money line.
Well, you should be.
They're a 3.5-point pick. Pardon me.
I just want to ask a question. What are the Lions 9-3? Or are they?
No, they're like 11-1 or something.
And what about the Packers?
The Packers are like 10-2.
Well, I may check that out. Is it an 8:30 start?
Yeah, 8:20.
Fuck.
But I think if the Packers win, they can actually tie for the division lead. So it's a massive game, you know. It really is. And the Thursday night games, for whatever reason, tend to be dogs. Not this one. I will be watching it tonight. And again, minus 185 on the money line. The Lions, a 3.5-point pick. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker, casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994.
As we mentioned, Chef Mike is going to drop by our Christmas party at Kelsey's. It'll be great to see him, share a few laughs and memories of his now dead wife, which is weird. But we'd also love you guys to join us. People are starting to get the idea that we're going to be at Kelsey's on the 22nd of December at noon. It's a noon start. A little bit of entertainment, some musical guests, mostly us just yammering. We'll have Humble and Fred trivia, Ask Humble and Fred. We'll be giving away some nice prizes. And as always, Kelsey's is a great place to host this event. We're excited to go back. You can go to Kelsey's any day of the week and enjoy their retro menu. All kinds of Kelsey's classics, like their Roadhouse seafood pasta, their creamy shrimp and crab sirloin and beef tenderloin and creamy blue cheese pasta. It's all there. Hurry in before they're gone, only at Kelsey's, the original Roadhouse, where they have happy hours twice a day. That's right. 3 to 5 and 8 to close. $5 draft beer, wine, and mixed drinks, and $10 appies every single day, twice a day, happy hours. Visit Kelsey's.ca for full details. You know, I know this wasn't your song, but it's a cool little tune. This is very Dan Duran-esque, though, I think.
Yeah, and again, it happens somehow. And don't get me wrong, I would, somewhere along the line, it played on something I called up. So, yeah, and more, my wife likes smooth jazz, so more and more I'm playing that. You know, especially on the heels of the election, it was cool just to have calm background stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it was, actually.
I mentioned this yesterday, and I haven't gotten rid of whatever the term is. I haven't deleted my account, but I have basically stopped interacting on Twitter for the last month. I just noticed that last night. I was just looking at it, and I haven't really posted or reposted anything for a while. And it is an interesting feeling of being disengaged with it, even so much yes. as I'm not listening to CNN in my car like I, you know, would have been. I'm not listening to the countdown. You know, I just, and it's, part of me thinks, oh, is there something I'm missing? But a better part of me thinks, nothing, I have no effect on anything that I could be listening to. All it does is make me feel shitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, the lead up, there's no suspense now. We know the result. And I think what attracted us during the run up was the what's going to happen? Is there a chance, you know, that the country will choose a woman and someone of decent character as opposed to this pig? But, you know, now it's over. We know the answer. So,
yeah, and I mean, we could have spent the last month, especially the last week, especially talking about the picks for all these high level, you know, head of the FBI and the Department of Department of Defense, all these people. It's a never ending carousel of Nimrods and, you know, mm-hmm. but it just doesn't draw me in the same way.
No. Because it's, and again, depending on your perspective, and I think I can speak for you, and I say it's just sad. You know, I've been beating the shit out of the word disheartened. I'm sorry, it just keeps coming back to me. I'm sort of disheartened that half the country lost their moral standards or the moral fiber that you would expect out of a society. It's sad to me, just sad.
Okay, well, on a happier note, mm-hmm. every week we get so many people that want to participate via this thing called emails. And on Thursdays, we take a little time and discuss some of the issues that seem to resonate with you, the Humble and Fred listener. And it's that time again. Freddie.
Hi, guys.
All right. The subject matter here is 6 degrees of separation to Humble and Fred. Leanna M. Scott is the writer. She says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Because I didn't just fall off a turnip truck. OG Hundy P here. So last Saturday, I was at a holiday craft market, my own table, selling pottery with a friend, when my friend jumps up and says, hey, there's my cousin. She gives her cousin a warm hug and introduces us. This is my cousin, Rudra. I say as I shake his hand. What's your last name? I asked. Odd question, as evidenced by their expressions. Rishi Maharaj, my friend said. Oh, of Humble and Fred, I exclaimed. My table mate is Rudra's cousin.
What about that?
Isn't that sweet? Then I was talking with another vendor at the market, and she said she needed a financial advisor. And of course, I said, you should try the retirement Sherpa. We use them. Tim and Jay are great. And just then, Deb, Tim, and Jay's trusty colleague slash office manager appears as if from nowhere. This was
what?
Deb. Yeah, Debbie. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's good.
Humble and Fred, your influence is everywhere. Anyway, love what you do. Glad the four bangers are back. Well, don't love them too much. Anyway, yeah. Love the shitter controversy. Enjoyed the Gretzky Orr skit as it brought me back to the old days. Not your best, but it made me smile nonetheless, as did the après skit discussions. Yeah, that was fun. Hope to see you on the 22nd at Kelsey's. Sincerely, Leanna. Bowel movements like clockwork after my morning coffee. We get a lot of that. That morning coffee really gets them going, eh? Heart rate around 68 with thanks. That was a long one, but a sweet one.
But necessary. It's great to hear from Leanna. Mm-hmm. She's such a big supporter of ours and always great. All right. Well, then I'm going to do this one. Another fine supporter of ours.
Hi, guys.
Leanne.
Hi, guys.
Carruthers. Subject, you're number one. She says, hi, guys. Because I'm a proper lady. Yes, you are, Leanne. I just wanted to send you guys a congratulatory note on the excellent news of the podcast rankings. We were talking about this last week at one point, and it changed a little bit. We went from like 20th to 30th. But we were in the top 20 at one point last week of the comedy interviews on Apple, which is cool. She says, Leanne goes on to say, I subscribe to a number of podcasts, but Humble and Fred are my go-to every day. Well, not every day, because come on, isn't 4 days a week enough? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Keep talking and I'll keep listening. And sometimes shouting back at you, too. Cheers to many more years. XO, Leanne Carruthers, BMs like clockwork, heart rate, not sure. Not sure, but no issues. And Hundy P sends Voldemort. We should send him a Christmas card.
Yes, thank him for all the people that he's provided.
That's
he's
right.
Pushed over here. Nice.
Dear John. Mm-hmm. Dear John, mm-hmm. Your demise was really good for business. Keep up the good work. Humble and Fred. All right, moving on there, Fred.
Hi,
man.
Guys. Hi, guys.
Subject matter, bananas.
Hi, God.
This is from Richard Jackson. He says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Because I wouldn't pay the extra $6 for shampoo. Yes, I agree. Yeah. Totally.
Do you?
or as I prefer to call it, the Dan Durananana. He says, listening during the Edge days, faithfully after Voldemort's unmasking.
There you go.
And again, that's from Richard Jackson's short, and I'm not sure I completely understand it, but I guess Dan's, he's referring to Dan's member as a banana, Dan Durananana. Would this be correct, Howard?
I think you're close. You're close enough. I looked at it a couple times. He sent a couple pictures of bananas.
Yes.
Talking about how... Oh, I see why. I get it. It's a picture of a banana from some other country. Says this Hawa Moa banana. Oh, it's a Hawaiian banana. He says these bananas are a Hawaiian variety and grow up to 10 inches long and 4 inches wide.
That's right. Okay.
Can you imagine?
That explains it. Yeah.
Could you imagine? If that were you and I, we'd never stop showing it to people.
No, I know. Sometimes when I see women with really, really large breasts, I think that must be horrible. Seriously. Often women have breasts, you know, reductions.
Yeah, there's a lot to carry
Imagine
around.
Imagine just carrying those around all day long. Well, Dan's sort of that way. Like, every day he just sort of stands up, takes a deep breath, and goes, well, I got to carry this around for another day.
Boy, you're going to carry that weight. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. You and I, on the other hand, could just get up and go. We're very mobile.
No, exactly.
Nothing's weighing us down.
We float.
That's right. We're very buoyant when it comes to that. All right, here we go.
Hi, guys.
The subject line, why not invest in Bitcoin? Forget your password and lose it all. This comes from Sid. And, of course, he doesn't say hi, guys. He says Howard.
Hi, guys.
I'll just throw that in for Sid. He said, there are many stories where Bitcoin investors, we were talking about, how come we didn't get on the Bitcoin train when it left the station? Sid says, there are many stories where Bitcoin investors forgot the password to their Bitcoin wallets, only to find there's nobody to help you recover that.
What?
That means without your password, no Bitcoin. And then he includes... Two YouTube stories of people that had forgot their password. I didn't know. I know nothing about Bitcoin, and I certainly can't really comment on this because I don't. I didn't realize there's no way to recover a password. You can recover a password for everything else in the world, but apparently not Bitcoin.
Yeah, it was staggering. You know, I looked at the other day, Bitcoin, you could have bought it at one point for 5 or 6 cents. And say you had bought a couple of 100,000 shares at 5 cents. It just broke through 100,000 a share. If you do the math on that, like your calculator can't even handle all the zeros. It says
it would be millions and millions of dollars. Yeah.
Like it's.
So think about it. You put $1,000, $1,000 at 5 cents a share. That's 5 goes in his hand 20 times. That's 20,000 shares.
Yeah.
At $100,000is $200 million.
Yeah. There's got to be those stories out there.
Well, there are now, apparently, there are stories of people who did invest but lost their passwords. So, all right, moving on.
How aggravating would that be?
Oh, fuck. I would literally drive into a post. What do you got?
Subject matter advice. Anthony Bastoni, I would imagine the name is. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Actually, this one is directed at Fred. Freddie, you've mentioned a few times over the years that you had back surgery to alleviate your chronic back pain. How long did you live with it until you finally got the surgery done? I'm 41 and always in some degree of pain, going on 10 years now. I've done non-surgical things like chiropractors and physiotherapists with minimal relief. I struggle with going the surgical route out of fear of making it worse. How long did you wrestle with it, and what finally made you pull the trigger? No worries if this doesn't make the podcast. I'd be happy with an email reply, which I plan on doing. But in a nutshell, what drove me to it was pain, and I was around the same age, I believe. Wasn't I 2002? How old was I? Anyway, 46.
Yeah, you were saying 2002 was when it... when it really flared up. Was 2003. Well, and I did in 2002.
No, I had surgery in 2002. So it flared up, and it was a 4-year thing. About 98 was when I first started getting problems.
What is it? When we went to New York, wasn't that when we were doing the morning show at Mojo, or was it?
Yeah, that was 2001.
Oh,
I hadn't had surgery yet.
No, that's right. We went to Mojo in 2001.
So, and again, in a nutshell, and what drove me to it was pain. I literally couldn't walk on the day that I had surgery. Like you, I was very reluctant to have surgery because, you know, you don't like, you know, as it's, you don't like anybody opening up your spine, literally. But, you know, in retrospect, it was the best thing ever. I had a good surgeon 22 years ago. I've never had a problem since. It was life-changing because it was a horrible existence, not knowing day-to-day whether your back was going to be in or out or what situation you would be in. But I will send an email explaining that a little more. And now, 22 years later, I can only imagine the surgeries even advanced further where it's a no-brainer.
Well, yeah. I always tell the story. I mean, we've told the story of doing the show at your house. We traded cars because your truck was giving your back trouble. And we were already at Mojo, you're right, 2001. Mm-hmm. But what stands out most for me is when we went to New York and went to a game at the Meadowlands. Who were we watching? Leafs in Jersey, I guess?
Yeah.
And I was the guys we were with, our bosses, went to get the tickets, and I stood next to you as you sat on the floor. You were on the fucking ground of the Meadowlands. And I was like, well, this can't be any fun for him.
No, when I stood up, the compression just, well, it was unbearable. Anyway, yes, had surgery. Nothing but good things to say about it. Haven't had a problem in 22 years. Fingers crossed. And anyway, Anthony says, resting heart rate 85. Ooh, that's kind of high. Mm-hmm. Bowel movements once, maybe twice a day.
Okay.
A hundy pee since the end of your Edge 102 days. Nice.
All right, moving on. Not funny anymore. Hi, not guys. Funny anymore Hi, is the Hi, subject line. And of course, I see this and I go, what do you mean not funny anymore? It's from, excuse me.
Oh. Do you remember eating that?
I'm, you know, you don't even notice, but you know I eat during the show all the time. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
I have a little bowl. Look, right here, I have a little bowl of grapes that I like to have during the show.
Yeah, keeps you fueled, right?
Johnny says Kali. I hope that's close, Johnny. Of course, he says hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Simply because. He says, I, like you guys, love stand-up comedians. It's been a while since I listened to Funny 820. So the other day on my drive home, this is the not funny anymore. The other day on my drive home, I tuned into AM 820, our old home, and for a minute thought I was listening to a parody Indian song until the DJ came on afterwards. It was then that I realized AM 820 was not funny anymore. It's now 820 Punjabi Radio. I wonder if they would put our show on there. They would, you probably. Know what? They would probably treat us better than the people who owned Funny 820 did. Oh, well, says Johnny. I guess I'll just listen to the Gretzky orbit at 0.5 speed for a good laugh. Stay strong and happy holidays to everyone. Take care, Johnny.
You know what I like about that? Because we've talked about this recently. How radio, its purpose is to serve a community. And more, they're doing it less and less. You know what I mean? It's just wall-to-wall music with commercials, no announcers, blah, blah, blah. They've taken that signal, which was wall-to-wall stand-up comics, not really serving the community on any level. It was out of the United States. Now, 820 is serving a community. The
Absolutely.
Punjabi community. That's what it's supposed to do. And so I just think that's, I think that's a good use of a signal that was being abused, honestly.
I will agree with that. I think that, and probably making way more money serving the Punjabi community than they were serving the sliver of people. And by the way, at the time that we were on Funny 820, I said this too. If you have SiriusXM and you want to listen to stand-up comedy in your car, the comedy they were running on AM 820 was all censored.
Yeah.
And poorly edited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway. Well, thank you, whoever that was. Johnny, I think it's your turn right now, isn't it?
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Contest Memories is the subject. This is from our buddy Glenn Jones. He says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Because I don't lick pigs' asses.
Yeah.
Reference to our really tough contest. He says, listening to the show today when you were retelling the story of the pig licking and Fred's signal broke up, I thought at first he was making the sound of a guy licking a pig's ass. When I figured out it was the signal dropping, it got even funnier. I'm sure the sound was pretty close to that. As I'm getting old, I can't remember when the last time there was a funny sound effect from Fred losing connectivity, but I'm sure another Hundy peer will. I think Phil put it in a loop. That's all for now. Keeping it short for you guys. Resting heart rate 68. Bowel movements. Need more fiber today, I guess. Thanks for the laugh. Stay strong.
Glenny Jones. Yeah, I was scrambling before the show today because I thought I had either somebody sent it to me. It was when you and Dan, you sort of froze and
yes.
It was staggering. Only I could hear it. You mm-hmm. guys weren't listening. Well, whatever it was, I thought I had it.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't find it in time, but I know what Glenn's talking about. Thank you, Glenn. Always a pleasure hearing from you. All right, here we go.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
This is from Bill Carver, who says, a couple of smooth operators who can blow their own horn is the subject line. And he says, of course, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Because I'm not anti-colonoscopy. So, Dan, it's time for you to get that camera, put in your special opening, your anus, and get a goddamn colonoscopy. He says, saw the Anthony Jeselnik Netflix special, which was damn funny. Also watched him on Charlie Sheen and Trump Roast. He's a funny dude. Goes on to talk about some other stuff. I don't want to get into it. It's not that it's that long, but it's complicated. Talks about targeted tariffs on Canada, etc., etc. I know we need a change, but the pipsqueak Poliev isn't it. P.S., it's official. Spotify Wrapped has Humble and Fred as my number one podcast. Toronto Mic'd at number four. Lovingly yours. And thank you for that, Bill Carver. Yeah.
Billy Carver.
Billy. Yeah, I think it's universal now that our listeners have cottoned onto the fact that Daniel, our dear, dear friend, especially in light of losing a listener today, what will be the motivation for Dan Duran to finally get his ass looked at?
I don't know. Dan's, you know, he has a certain responsibility to himself I wish he would uphold, but for some reason he doesn't.
Like, what's he afraid
even
of?
Yesterday. Yes, I don't know. Even yesterday when we were probing him about having a will, I bet you he doesn't have a will. I bet you.
Well, I think that's the problem. He's worried about being probed in general. Like, get over it. I mean, is he worried that he's going to, like, have a colonoscopy and then just want to start having anal sex all the time? Is that
I don't know.
Is that his worry?
Who knows what goes on in that mind?
Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got a couple more to go, and then Dan Duran will be back with the news. Freddie.
Hi, guys. Subject matter, Portugal.
Hi, guys.
This is from Jim Spencer. He says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Healthy and regular here in Portugal, referring to his bowel movements, I guess. I'm currently enjoying the beach in the Algarve area, listening to this week's Monday show on Tuesday. I am able to do so as I use GigSky for my internet connection. I know this isn't a current advertiser on Humble and Fred, but what a wonderful service they provide. Are you listening, Rudra, mm-hmm. who's already been referenced in this
Rudra.
Segment? Jim says, no interruptions and very inexpensive. Rogers wants $15 a day. GigSky has many options, and I'm paying $15 for the 8 days we are here. Wow. My wife and the other couple we are with have also converted. Thanks. Thank you. Rudra Rishi Maharaj. He says, actually, Ravi. Oh, I guess, right. Yeah, Ravi.
Well, Ravi's the presidente.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Also, Frederick, you had mentioned that you were looking at flights. Portugal is lovely this time of year, reasonably priced as it's more or less the off-season, great food, wonderful accommodations at any price range. Use some of your optimum points and book it. Regards, Jim Spencer. Yes, I'm looking at Portugal, actually, for April or so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how long would you go down there for?
Oh, a few weeks, I guess. You know.
Because I'm going, I think I'm now the needle is moving very strongly towards Spain for a few weeks when you're in Costa Rica. I'm going back to Mexico.
Oh, you are now. You're back.
I think I'm going back there. Yeah, I think I'm on it.
Oh, let it all hang out, brother. Let it all
hang out. Yeah, no, I get it. I appreciated your conversation with me the other day about, you know, just do it. But I'm going away. My point about you going to Portugal is I'm going away the sort of last week of March and the first week of April. So that might be a good time for you to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We've got a couple more to go. This one is subject line. Dan is my hero.
Hi, guys.
This is from Robert Ashton. Of course, he says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
What is he not going to say? Am I going to hi, guys? And try not to say hi, guys, now. See where you see what the other people think of you. Robert, he says, I envy Dan spending quiet time at the condo trailer. We were trailer people for a few years, and my favorite time to be there was the quiet times of the year at the beginning and ends of the season. Not too hot, not too cold, and no people. Mm-hmm. Well, I get that, Robert. However, I am concerned. This is Robert's concern, Fred. If Dan were to ever get arrested, let's say for trespassing on private property to reach a porta potty, that when the news hit the papers of his arrest, he would be noted as having no fixed address since he doesn't seem to have a steady residence. Well, that's true. And we all know what we think of folks who get arrested that are listed as no fixed address. I'm concerned, says Robert, this designation may soil his reputation at the Peterborough Theatre Guild. Signed.
Oh, they got it all in there.
Oh, he's jammed everything in. He says, signed, concerned fanboy Rob. Bowel movement's fine. Blood pressure a tad high. Due for a colonoscopy. Hundy P since the V. How many is that today?
Wow. Yeah, several.
That's several today from the disgraced broadcaster, John Derringer, and what he's done for this program. Irony. Ha, ha, ha. Fucking A.
Hi, guys.
Subject matter here, feces on a stick. This is from Julie Mazzoni. Hi, guys. God, I laughed today when Fred mentioned how Howie's shit in a bag would be stinking up Canada Post.
It's a fucking... Just what do we... What else do we talk about? We talk about other things.
I love it. That's right. She says, Fred, the amount of shit that goes on that stick is very minute. I did it a few months ago, and the entire process is weird, and I didn't think they could test it properly. Have you ever kept track of the amount of hours you guys spend talking about shit? No, but it's up there. We know. Like, we have a general idea.
Yeah, if our Spotify rap for content for the year, shit would be number one or two.
Would be shit, yeah. Anyway, you guys are the shit. And rarely shit the bed. I love this. Blood pressure and shits on point. Hundy P from the beginning. That's from Jules. What a great email. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and that's very sweet.
Very clever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all shits and cocks.
It's all shits, very few giggles.
I don't know. I giggle. But then I'm not well. So you're all done now, I think, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I've saved this one. This came in yesterday. Subject line, best line of the week, says Rob Westerhoff. And, of course, he says, hi, guys. And then in brackets, when in Rome, blah, blah, blah. Howie, says Rob. And then in quotations, my line. Because I was talking to, at the end of the show yesterday, I was bugging Dan about fucking all this Hamas stuff. And he says, basically, the line is, anti-Semitism to English dictionary. Lol, L-O, fucking L. Rob W. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that, Rob. Just one of the many things in a week that we'll say that Fred Mann and the How Man and sometimes Dan, but not often, but sometimes we'll say that is, you know, fairly amusing. And has nothing to do with shit.
Yes. breakthrough.
That's right. It was a breakthrough. A breakthrough mm-hmm. the shit content.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, everybody. If you want to get part of the, be part and get into and be part of the Kelsey's Christmas party, you can email us at the same place you email us for Email Thursdays, which is Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Freddie P with another message of importance.
Tim Niblett is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Yesterday, Jay Bondi was by, and we were talking about the letters in Sherpa, because he's a Sherpa, too. He's Sherpa J. We talked about A, and it meaning appreciation. Not only appreciation of your funds within a, you know, within a portfolio, but your appreciation for all the things that, you know, wealth or money or investing can bring you. You know, it was wonderful. Plus, we also did a segment on AI and how it is influencing the world of investment. Fascinating. It really was. If you have a portfolio, you want someone to have a second look at it, Jay or Tim will do that. No strings attached, no cost, no obligation. They'll give you an assessment of where you stand. You decide at that moment where you want to go with it. All right? Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
If I may take a moment and tell you about this company that supports us, Boron One. We've already educated you the best we can because, you know, when it comes to boron, we're a couple of morons. But it is difficult to comprehend the variety of uses of boron in construction, manufacturing, medicine, science. I've told you about this. Telecommunications, space travel, communications. Well, all to give you an idea that boron's pretty dang important. Pretty important when it comes to everyday life around the planet. And that's why when a company like Boron One gets set to take it out of the ground, it is cause for at least curiosity about what this stock, you know, might do. We're not saying it's going to be Bitcoin, but right now it's a nickel a share. And one thing we do know, if they get boron out of the ground and start producing it commercially, it will no longer be 5 cents a share. Freddie and I don't know anything more beyond that other than to say they support us and we are supporting them. The company is called Boron One and the website is boronone.com. To that discussion about Christmas music and what I said about the universe of artists performing Christmas songs,
mm-hmm.
so huge, yet the number of actual songs don't really mm-hmm. increase. I mean, yeah, every year, like Greg Wired, I was going to get to this point, is that, you know, I'm sure Sade, is it Sade or Sade?
Sade.
Sade. I'm sure
yeah, there's no R.
I'm sure Sade, eh? I'm sure she's got a Christmas song, but our friend Greg Wired, who will be performing
mm-hmm.
at Kelsey's, does. You know, here's a case of a guy who plays music for a living and then wanted to put out a little Christmas tune. And he'll be performing this at our Christmas party on the 22nd. Of course, it has to have the dingle bells in there, you know.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Every Christmas morning since the day I was born, I've had these childhood memories. I would wake up early and the real world would turn out just as happy as my dreams. And all the choir voices singing their hearts out. For a moment, all the problems of their daily lives are cast out. Christmas, let's all get together. Merry Christmas, one and all.
Yeah, he's a talented kid. He's a talented guy. He's got some talent. Showing it off there.
See, I like that. I like, what would you call them? Original Christmas songs, like songs you haven't heard before, or Christmas songs by artists that they created themselves.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, just doing covers of old traditional songs. I like that, but I've always been, I like new music, you know.
Yeah, I agree, and that's why mm-hmm. like the Bare Naked Ladies have a Christmas album, and mm-hmm. and it's what they, I mean, they did some, hang on a second, I was trying to get it, they did some yeah, traditional Christmas stuff.
What's the one I really like they do?
I'm trying to get it right now here. Hang on a second.
Time
Fuck
is,
me.
You know, as time has flown.
Well, they do like God Rest Me, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. But that's not the one I like. It's the Something for an Elf. Yeah, it's Bare Naked Lady, Bare Naked for the Holidays. Yeah, they got like this stuff. I love this song.
The streets are filled with Christmas cheer. At least it's only once a year.
Like they when they perform this at perfect one of our Christmas songs, it's like our Christmas shows. It's like it's cool.
Carols ringing in my ear. Bundled up against the cold, lines wherever gifts are sold. Each shop window displays a Christmas scene for everybody young and old. Icicles on eaves troughs and tinsel on the tree, but it's a green Christmas for me.
Yeah, just another example of a band doing an original Christmas song. And as opposed, and they nice. Again, they've got some traditional stuff on that album. Bare Naked for the Holidays is the name of that. Dan Duran, you're back.
Yeah, I'm back.
How does that feel? Did you have
nice
some toast?
To see you, Dan.
It's good to see you. Did you have some toast?
No, we didn't get to the toast.
Oh, it's too bad.
Really?
Yeah. Got some toast.
Did you have something different today, Dad?
No. I just, Lisa was wandering around, and I was talking to her for a little bit, and then I had, the news to collect. I just didn't have toast time.
Would you tear off a quick one between appearances?
No, I don't do the quick one. It is a more involved romantic experience, I must say.
Of course.
What the fuck?
She must be thrilled that you've torn yourself away from the trailer condo and actually, graced her home again.
She's very happy to have me back here, yes.
Yeah, is she? And are you going back to the trailer this weekend when it warms up to 6 degrees or something on Sunday?
I do have to make an appearance up there to take care of a couple things, which I haven't taken care of, for the winter.
Okay.
And then I will return. It's going to be less attendance at the lakeside.
You may have heard, I don't know if you listened to the thing while you're away, but many of our emails, I think we had 12 emails today, six apiece, like 20% of them were about you and the fact that you won't get a colonoscopy or a colonoscopy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just letting you know, like, the people are concerned, Dan.
I get it. There's pressure. There's pressure. I'm feeling the pressure. Yeah.
Can we turn this into a bit, Dan? Like, can we actually nail one down and do the countdown and maybe interview the doctor and blah, blah, blah? Like, can we?
All right. Do you think we can find a doctor that would allow?
We'll find a doctor. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what I said? I said, I think Dan's, maybe he's nervous that once he gets a camera up his butt, he's going to want all kinds of stuff up there.
once I get the feel for it.
Yeah, once you get your ass virginity taken by a camera, mm-hmm. I mean, what else do you care?
I'm just wondering if it will be a challenge that your colon, the drag being caused by that thing hanging out front, is it going to be harder for them to get the camera up there?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all pulled out of shape, of course.
I'll have to strengthen my pelvic floor.
If you just think about the gravity that pulls on the whole apparatus, your taint's probably all fucking distorted.
Yeah. Disfigured, yes. Yes, right. Good point.
To get to the Kegel, my Kegel, is there a yoga for Kegels?
Of course there is. Dan, all week long I've been talking about this girl on OnlyFans who makes $4 million a month.
Yeah.
She's like,
what's her name again?
I had it. This is 4 days old now, so I wrote it down somewhere else. Yeah. But I was all week long, I thought, this is what Dan should do. Get an OnlyFans page. And, people would pay, to see what's going on with you there. And then as the week's going on, I keep rewriting, because I keep making notes. And today I thought, okay. Here's what you should do, Dan, because you're not a porn star.
No.
Dan's OnlyFans page should just be you dressing up your dink like famous actors or politicians.
Yeah. Good idea. That's a great idea.
And then the OnlyFans would be to see how you've dressed up your penis and who's, today it's You know, it's Donald Trump Day on Dan's OnlyFans page. If you go there today, you'll see Dan's dink dressed up like Donald Trump.
Yeah. Wow. That's quite the journey that I'd have to take there.
Listen, just let Fred and I manage this. You and we'll all take a cut.
Okay.
Great.
Come on, man.
How does someone make $4 million a month on OnlyFans? So OnlyFans is not live, is it?
It's mostly for porn stars and people that are in that business, and you start a page that people pay. Go ahead.
Is this the one that's like 20 years old?
Yeah, 20 years old, big titties,
and she has the full bum?
Full bum, big titties.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
$4 million a month, Dan.
Wow.
Surely.
What's that a year? Like in the 40 million year? Is that right? 40,
you don't know what four times
is. That would be 48 million, Dan. Yeah. That would be 48.
What's that a year? It's called mathematics. I know you only see, that's the problem. I went to grade 12. You got to grade 10. Dan, if she can make $4 million a month, surely us dressing up your dick for different occasions, like Santa Claus, all that stuff, 40,000 a month. Even if we make 40,000 a month, it's worth it's worth it. And by the way, 40,000 a month is just under 500,000 a year, Dan.
Well, thanks for doing the math. I appreciate it.
Victoria Day will put fireworks on it.
Yeah. That's right. Think about it. Yeah. For St. Patrick's Day, it's like a little leprechaun dick, you know, and then Valentine's Day, we'll just twist it into a heart.
When you come to visit me in Brampton, we'll dress it up for Dwally.
Dwally.
And Dollywall or whatever it is.
Dollywall. Yeah. And then for Hanukkah, we'll put 8 candles in your pee hole.
Yeah.
Well, I know you think I'm kidding, but I saw how much money my daughter and her friend made on that dog account. Dan, here's what we're doing. We're leaving money on the table. We're leaving money on the table, Dan.
We're leaving money. It's the only thing separate. It's the imagination. It's just the imagination and perhaps shame.
There's no
shame. Can you imagine that young girl making
money?
In a year, like a year of doing that would set her up. Well, a month for a lot of people. A year of doing that would set her up for 3 lifetimes. You know what I mean? Or her and her kids to come if she's going to. You know what I mean? Like, wow. Dan, what a world.
Think about it. For $4 million a month, I don't know. Wouldn't she?
You could buy the park, Dan.
Yeah, think about that. If you let us manage this correctly, the 3 of us are going to make a lot of money, and you can buy the park and then kick Fred out.
Right.
And then you know what I would do if I were you? I would kick him out and then fucking turn his entire trailer into a fucking outhouse.
A shit house.
Shit anywhere.
I get it. I would too, Howard.
Just shit anywhere.
It'd be glorious. Yes. Okay.
Dan,
I can't wait to ponder this through the
Daniel
Fred Long weekend.
You could wait. You could play your world music as loud as you wanted.
Yeah, I guess you're right. There's so many advantages to this idea.
I wish you'd take this seriously. All right.
Dan, is Colton coming home for Christmas? I would imagine, yes.
No. He's going with his cousins and aunts and uncles and everything down to Arizona, I believe.
Oh. How nice.
Well,
that's kind of a cool trip. Is the former Mrs. Duran going as well?
I believe no. My understanding is that she's not going to be making this particular one. But, you know, Colton is very close with all his cousins. So
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's very sweet.
Well, why don't you hop on that bus then?
Well, that's not my bus to hop onto, to be honest.
No, I understand. So, I understand. That's a different side of the family. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Dan. If you'd let us dress up your cock as a Christmas tree, you wouldn't need these people. You could just fly down privately.
That's right.
Buy the place next to where they're renting. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, if you think I'm going to miss a major holiday of things we can dress up your dick as... You're sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
You are sadly mistaken.
Yeah, there's Valentine's Day.
Dan,
the
it's
first
endless.
One after Christmas.
Every day of the year, there's another reason to go to Dan's Dick's OnlyFans page. It wouldn't even be you. You don't even need, you know what? We only need your apparatus and dress it up as, and could be like Academy Awards times. We dress it up as Timothy Chalamet. from Dune. We put like the Dune thing on them and God.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
New Year's. Oh, possibilities endless.
New Year's fireworks coming out
of the
end.
Yeah, we did all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dan, I'll call I'll call you on our regular Friday call and we'll outline this whole thing. Okay. All right, now without further delays.
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchor man, comes and as for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now live from Lisa's house, here he is, movie Anchorman, television series regular, longtime Canadian broadcaster, and gentleman to one and all. It's the very kind and intelligent Daniel J. Giebert Duran with Humble and Fred News.
Cuba's fragile power grid failed again with millions in the dark. The largest healthcare insurer CEO was targeted, shot, and killed, and took Trump off the front page in the United States. And Trump's Secretary of Defense pick, Pete Hegseth. That's Hegseth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Said he would quit drinking if confirmed in the position, which is a great way to, help the man out with his drinking problem. Anyway, let's look at nearly naked fat guys bumping into each other. It's exciting. Top tier sumo wrestling will make a rare appearance in London, England for the first time in 3 decades and for the second time ever outside of Japan. In the sports, I didn't even know that this was, it has 1,500 years of history behind it.
I'm sorry, say that whole, what has it, what are we doing in Japan?
Sumo.
Oh, sumo wrestling, okay.
They're outside of Japan. They're going to London to the Royal Albert Hall. 40 members of the top elite, Makaushi Reishi, I don't know if I've said that right. These wrestlers from the country's top level division will compete at the Royal Albert Hall coming up in October of 2025. So you can book your seats now, get into the Royal Albert Hall. It'll be an authentic sumo ring with all the, you know, the dirt and the Shinto shrine and all that, and the excitement of sumo wrestlers doing what they do.
Yeah.
Wow. I've seen, you know, every so often you, I don't know, you come across something on television, sumo wrestling, and I have less than any interest in it. It's just like, what is that? Really? It's just that I don't even find it intriguing. Like, they just look all so uncomfortable to me.
I find it intriguing that there's this 1,500 year history that them fattening up. And that's the whole point is, you know, they have strength, obviously.
Well, you got to be fat and strong. I mean, there's no getting around it. They're not weak and fat.
Oh, no.
They're strong and fat, but it's kind of a cool sport in that I've given it some thought, like about the last 8 seconds. It's a cool sport. it's a cool sport because your training is just to eat a lot while also maintaining some strength. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, you don't have to worry about your weight.
I've often thought, why, like, the Buffalo Bills, like, sign, like, 10 of them and just put them on the line. They wouldn't even have to move. Just stand there. They'd be fat to fat to fat to fat right across the line and stand there. Well, like, why hasn't that been thought of?
Well, because every team in the league would then go out and get a bunch of sumo wrestlers. And,
right.
And then it would just be sumo on sumo and would change the nature of the game, Frederick.
Good point.
Think about it. Mm-hmm. I have a great idea, though. Back to Dan's OnlyFans page. One, today, because we knew you were going to do that story, we would dress up your dick as a sumo wrestler. Mm-hmm. Come on. How is this not already caught on, Daniel? And it would just be your dick in a sumo suit bowing. And then the head dressed up like a Japanese person eating some sushi.
Did you just say asso?
Yes, I did. Because that would be racist?
That's cultural appropriation.
In the context of Dan's penis,
you cannot say asso.
All right. I could have the dick say asshole. Okay, I'm just workshopping it right now.
I know, but you must watch.
I know, I know. You're right.
Intolerant.
You're right. You're right.
Things that come out of your mouth.
I know.
You can't be saying that.
Okay.
My God, what are the people going to think? Howard today on the show said, asshole. Uh-huh.
I know. I'm pretty sure he said. There's a four banger, another four banger in the books. Next week, we're back for four more. The relentless pursuit of excellence continues on the Humble and Fred Show. Maureen Holloway will be with us next week. Chef Jordan Wagman, Amanda Capito, and all kinds of stuff will get you ready for our big Christmas party now, only a few weeks away. Yes, Frederick?
Where's Boone? I thought isn't this Thursday. Isn't Boone here all dropping by?
I don't think he's dropping by anymore. I think he's finished with that for now.
Oh, all right. I wonder why.
Well, I don't know. It seems a mystery. Yeah. Life's a mystery.
So we have no idea what's happening next week, then?
I just said everything that's happening next week.
Mm. Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Really?
That's okay.
Really? I just said everything that's happening next week. And you're like, yeah. You know, we can
also go back and listen then.
You know what the logo of your OnlyFans dick page could be? I just thought of it. It's perfect. It's just your penis with wearing a pair of glasses and headphones. That's the Dan Duran Dick logo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, Dick logo. Also, Dick logo would be a great private eye name. Mm-hmm. Dick logo, private eye.
One thing your dick couldn't dress up as is a dick, because nobody would believe it. No one would believe it. That's not possible. That's not possible.
It could be, and if we needed like a group shot, it could be your dick and our dicks, and then we just.
Oh, are you kidding?
It would be like a
humiliation.
No, it would be like no, but remember, we're all dressed up, so it would be Dan's dick would be the father dick, and our two dicks would be the kids off to Wonderland.
Right.
I don't know why this idea.
Oh
is
yeah,
not
we could do
on.
A movie.
Yes,
and we could do a movie
like the Lego movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You could voice
on vacation. Yeah.
Dan, the dream, your dream would come true. You would get to be the voice of your own dick.
That's my dream.
That is your dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we had a great time this week. Thanks, everybody. And again, thanks to our friend Marilyn Benninger. I'm screwing up her name. Benninger for all the years of support. And all I can say is, Chef Mike, all the best to you. I don't know how you feel, but, you know, maybe it's time for you to start recruiting somebody else to listen to our show. Because, as I said, you know, we need a replacement now that Marilyn's not going to be part of it. Although, wouldn't be the worst thing if Mike just took her phone and just kept refreshing it, you know, letting it continue to download the show, you know. Come on.
Yeah, I'm sure he would do that for us.
Yes, he would. He's a sweet guy. All right, Daniel, anything to add before you get to the Peterborough Theater Guild, your real job?
No. I'm just going to, you know, get out there in the snow. We have lots of snow up here. They canceled school today, so.
Come on.
Really?
Do some shoveling. Do some shoveling.
That much, eh?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Well, you know, no, I'm not. Usually with school buses, it's you know, first thing in the morning, if they can get the kids there or not, and if it's dangerous. And a lot of the roads hadn't been plowed yet, so that's why they probably did that. So, yeah.
So that's your weekend plans? Just hang out, shovel snow, go into the trailer? Freddie, what are you doing?
Hockey rinks. I got my daughter and her husband and my granddaughter are going down to somewhere down near London for a girls hockey tournament. So I have Johnny Slapshot. We have Johnny Slapshot for most of the weekend. Then I have to take him to hockey practice. I have to take him to his hockey game. I got to pick him up at school. So I got Papa stuff all weekend with my prince, my sweet little grandson.
Can't imagine anything better. That's going to be so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see Charlie. She's coming over. We're going to do dinner tomorrow night. And Spencer's here. And I'm going to meet... this is going to be weird. I'm going to do it, though. I'm going to meet my friend, my lady friend's grandchildren.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's taking it to the next level. Wow.
That's right.
So that's going to be weird. Call you? Eventually, Papa, what would the term be once you know,
Zeta.
You're hanging around?
I'm going to be Zeta.
Zeta.
Like, I'm going to throw a little Jew stuff at them. I want to be Zeta Howard.
Are they Jewish?
No. I am, though.
No, I'm are you well aware of that?
Are you aware? Is that? Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I don't know what they're going to call me. Anything, Howard, probably, but it's going to be. I mean, I've you know, in my dating life, you meet somebody's parents, you meet their family, you meet their siblings, friends, and such. But this will be a brand new experience for the How Man. I don't know.
Well, enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting. You know. I'm sure you'll have lots of fun with them because I know you communicate well with children.
with infants.
Your peer group.
That's right. I didn't get along so good with the 4-year-old, but the 2-year-old and I really connected. All right, everyone. Enjoy your long, Humble and Fred weekend. And now here's Dan Duran.
This episode of the legendary Humble and Fred Show is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, our newest sponsor, Ridley Funeral Home, and Kelsey's Original Roadhouse. For contests and comments and to sign up for our big Christmas coming up on the 22nd of December, here it is, Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. We read all of the emails, and we had that show today, so you can see what happens. So tell us what you think, Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. Check out other podcasts in the Humble and Fred Network: Swing Thoughts, Aging with Energy, and Jeff and Julie Moved to France During a Global Pandemic. And then there's our producer, Toronto Mike, as a podcast. From the Lou Glassman and Marilyn Benninger Zoom Theater, I'm Dan Duran. And think about what you could do for an Olding fans page, and enjoy every four damn days.